For the most part, it's a shocking discovery. How many people that are believers in the world today that don't, if you use the term Torah, they're not even sure what that is. And that's a shocking thing. And we're going to touch on some of those things, especially going into the fourth chapter, which we'll be doing in the morning. So in Galatians 4 is what we'll be starting on in the morning. So we're moving right along. It's just, it kind of, there's some parts of this that we don't want to leave out. So it's taken some time to go through it. But we want to cover, as extensive as we can. Obviously, there's going to be some areas that we won't be able to cover fully. But our goal is to cover as much as we possibly can. We left off on that verse 29 of the third chapter of Galatians. And if it be, and if ye be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that, looking at that. What is he talking about in heirs? How many know if you're an heir, there's something that belongs to the heirs, then you can receive that. You have the rights to it because you're an heir to it. If someone has a family member and you're an heir to that family member and they die or something happens and they leave an inheritance, you automatically, because you're an heir, have a portion of that inheritance. That's just an automatic thing. If there's nothing that's been very specifically said, there's no paperwork. It's a known thing because you're an heir. You're born in that, you're part of that family. Well, it's talking about that in that 29th verse. That's we have here. Then you're Abraham's seed according to the promise. Now, the condition. What's the condition in this verse? What's the condition? There's a condition to this verse. If ye be Messiahs. So, most of the time, folks in church are who have a tendency to lean toward church, they fail to meet the conditions. The conditions if we are Messiahs. If we belong to him, or if we have, now being Messiahs, we know now from you coming to these studies, looking at it, we know what that's meaning, what that entails. Because it's his circumcision. Remember the whole part here of the Galatians is they've been told by the Jews that they must be circumcised in order to be saved. They had to have circumcision. But if I'm Messiah's, meaning I'm letting him to be, allow him to be my circumcision, then I'm heir according to the promise. Now the promise was made to Abraham. Now we learned this early on in our introduction to this. Was the promise made to Abraham before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? It was made before. The promise was made to him. He said, and of his seed, that's how it would come. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. But let's cover some of this. I'm going to give you some verses to look at on your own time. You can look at some of these verses. In air, the oldest manuscripts omit "and" there. So we'll go back to the verse. It says, if you be Messiahs, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs. It's omitted. And sometimes that may not seem to be an issue here, but let's read it as it's omitted. If you be Messiahs, then you're Abraham's seed heirs. Not an additional thing. You're just heirs. And that's, so we're going to look at it from that perspective. We'll look at some verses here to help us along the way. Christ is Abraham's seed. Christ is Abraham's seed. And we'll look at these verses because they help us kind of look at it in a different light. So Galatians 3:16, we'll look at it. Ye are one in Christ. Ye are one in Christ. Are we one in the same? No, we're one in Christ. So that word ahad is there. You are one in Christ. So we read that verse. Galatians 3:16, you are one in Christ. Galatians 3:28, and one with Christ and having put on Christ. All these, you'll see we covered these. We want to go back and look at them again. Galatians 3:27. Therefore, ye are Abraham's seed, which is tantamount to saying, whence the and is omitted, ye are heirs according to the promise, not by the law. How are we heirs? According to the promise, not by the law. Galatians 3:18. Well, we want to look at that because not by the law, that covers a lot of things. Not according to Torah. But we're going to see what Paul means when he addresses these things, and especially going into the fourth chapter, we're going to be dealing with Galatians 4:10, which is the most used verse of one of the reasons why I thought this was so important for us to understand Galatians in light of Torah. And you're going to see why when we get there. I'm not sure we'll get there tomorrow, but we're going to sure be heading that away. Galatians 3:15 says, brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. If ye be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now watch this, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now if we be Christ's, if we're Christ, if Messiah is the one who sacrificed for us, we accept his circumcision, then we're part of that seed. Now, a lot of times we don't see it that way. We see it more as an heir. He's the heir, and we are the heir also. An heir, but it's not, you can't see it that way. If you're Christ's, then we're one in him. Not in the same, but we're as one that was born again, and now we're in that family. If we see ourselves as we get it because he got it, and then he turned around and he gave it to us, we still have some sort of a disconnect there, a distance. But if we see it according as Paul saw it, if Christ becomes our circumcision and we're in him, we're heir. It's just that simple. And you have to see that that's the close. The Father wants us to be drawn to him as his children. And we have to see that. We're not, that's why he made these provisions in the Torah with the sojourner or the one that's bought for money. Remember, he said, if the sojourner is with you, he has to keep the same commandments. And if he's bought for money, he can keep the Passover. And that's what, hence the scripture comes, we have been bought with a price. Christ has paid that price. So once we're bought with the price, there's no distinction between that one which was the native born or the foreigner. And that's a lot of times we don't see that that's the draw from the Father, that he wants to pull us closer to him. And so there's some sort of this, we believe we're in. It's like going on to a reunion or something, maybe a family reunion. You're going, but you didn't really put it together. But your family. And because you weren't completely fully involved in putting it together, even though your family, you still feel a little bit disconnected from the whole event. You may have felt those feelings. Well, that's what happens in church. Sometimes we're in, but we feel still some disconnect. Well, that's the trick of the enemy. Because we get our connection by how other people invite us in. That's how we get our connection with real family. Where they don't really accept me. Well, does that change the fact that you're heir? See, a lot of times we're looking for the approval or some assistance from an outside source to make us feel who we're supposed to feel like. But that's not what he said. He said, if you're Christ's, if you're Messiah's, then you're the seed of Abraham. You're heir. Not an heir, you're heir. And that's very important. I know at first we're just going to just let this go by. You know, I could have done this whole series and you wouldn't have known the difference if I needed to spend some time here. But let me tell you the difference. The difference is we allow something from the outside to tell us how close we can and will be to God. The scripture says you're heir. Just because you weren't involved from the very beginning doesn't change the fact that you're not part of that family. This is how important it is for us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, let me go a little bit further. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not, and to seeds. I mean, see that. As of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Messiah. Oh, so everything we have is a direct relationship to Messiah. So if I'm in Messiah, again, understand the heart is one. Is one. So I become something. What do I become? Even though I'm still Jesse, I become in Christ or Christ-like. But just, these things have to be done consciously. You have to. That's why he said, Paul's put. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Very important part, because sometimes you can be in and around and closely tied to church, but your mind not be changed. And the mind has to be changed because our thinking is what's going to lead and direct our footsteps. That's what guides our footsteps. And so if I'm going to go in the right direction, I'll be stepping in the right direction, my mind's got to be right. That's why I have to let this mind. Now, I don't mean it's automatic. So I come and I accept Christ. I accept what he did. So we can accept that it's all superficial. But the moment you let that mind be in you, you start this congealing or this merging together, and you become more Christ-like. So being a Christian is, by definition, is to be Christ-like. But there, you know, we don't see a whole lot of Christ-likeness when it comes to what the mind does and where the feet go. Very important principle. And this is what happened. Instead of people coming closer, they were getting farther and farther away. Now, this didn't make a difference if you were born native born, meaning you were born Jewish, or Gentile. The Jews, even though they were native born, they kind of said, well, we're heir regardless. Well, Christ comes on the scene. He says, well, you might have been a native born, but you're so far from the truth that you can't tell the difference. Because of tradition, they added traditions and commandments, they were getting farther, and that's why they said circumcision was necessary in order to be saved. And they said, Paul said, it's not necessary. Well, let's look at it a little bit further, because we're dealing with this part of being heir. We're going to read verse 28 again, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. How many see that? There is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, we know that when Paul says this, that doesn't eliminate the Jews and the Greeks, they're still there. But he says there's neither Jew nor Greek. Does that mean that people no longer continuing in there to be a Jew? No, they're Jews. What about the Greeks? They're Greeks. But he says there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now, just because he said there's neither male nor female, does that stop females from being female? Males from being males? That continues on. He said there's no restriction anymore. There was restriction on all of these. There were certain things Jews could do. And even in the Jewish, even being born a Hebrew, there were certain things that only a certain, if you've gone through the Torah, if you've been going through the Torah, keeping up with the Torah, you'll notice that even in the Hebrews, only a certain clan could do certain things. Some of them, they done taken down the whole temple service. That's all they did. They camped at a certain place. Nobody else could camp where they camped. But he's saying all of those things were put in place for a reason. But now, under Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. And bond nor free, male nor female. Here's the big one. The latter part, for you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. You're all one. So if we're one in Messiah and he's heir or the seed, what does that make you? You understand that? Don't feel disconnected. Like he's there, you're glad to be. You don't mind going to the reunion. That's what folks do. See, they look at church as a family reunion. We don't mind going to the reunion. But you don't feel like you're really a part of the reunion because you weren't at his birth. Somebody put it together. Now, if it was you that put it together, you're going to be involved in every aspect of it. And there'll be somebody else feeling like you're feeling. But there's no need to feel that way in serving God. You come here, you don't look at it, well, Pastor said we're going to have church on Saturday, but, you know, don't look at it as that. This is the time for us to meet. But if you're Messiah's and you feel like what the scripture says you are, your mind is straight, your motivation is straight, your excitement is there, because let me ask this question. If Messiah was told that we're going to have church at a certain time in a certain location, what do you think he'll do? He's going to do it because that's his heart's desire, is to go and have that encounter with the Father. What should we do? The same thing, because we're one in Messiah. So his passion's my passion now. His desire is my desire now. What he likes, I like. What he dislikes, I dislike. It's not like, well, you know, to me, remember that. There's a clear separation between what you and I feel and what the heir feels. Because you might feel like, you know, well, I never did belong to this family. So I'm going to go because it's got our, you know, they got shirts with our last name on it. And I'm just using family reunion because it makes sense to use this as an example. So I'll go to church because I'm a Christian, but that's a clear disconnection. You haven't got into your heirship yet. You don't see yourself one in Messiah. So whatever Messiah is doing, you want to be doing. It's a desire. So I don't think that Messiah went a single day, not one day. As a matter of fact, I know this to be a fact. He didn't go a single day without communicating with the Father. So it's not that somebody's salvation is better than another's. It's realizing who you are in Christ. If he wanted to communicate with his Father every day, you know what I want to do? Communicate with the Father every day. Is it going to be a struggle? Well, absolutely, but you push yourself. You push yourself to do that. Very, very important. So let's go a little bit further. Verse 26 of Galatians 3. It says, for ye are all the children of Yahweh. What? Now, I know we went over these already, but I just want you to see this. You are all the children of Yahweh. You are all the children of Yahweh. Understand that. Because we're heir. We're heir. Now, if somebody had a lot of money, just say somebody had $1 million. In today's world, that's not a whole lot anymore. But years ago, $1 million, that was a lot. Now, you know, $1 million don't get you very far. Stuff is expensive. So if you're going to retire, and you know, if you're going to retire and you don't have $1 million saved, your retirement's going to be pretty slim pickings, right? You're going to have to eat more bologna sandwiches than you probably expected. That's just the real facts, because it goes. It goes a lot quicker. I mean, if you've ever been to town lately and you had $100, $100 goes like that in town. Just like that. It's gone. And, you know, years ago, you went to town with $100, man, you come back with $50. Not anymore. So just say somebody had $1 million. And they're your family member. Say it's your father, a father, and your son and a daughter. And he died, and $1 million is there. You go around and say, well, I know he was my dad and all, but I don't know if I'm going to get anything. That's the mindset of the church today. That's absolute crazy thinking. Somebody been lied to. Somebody been robbed. Don't you know that you're all Yahweh's children? Now I want to ask you something. How much money or how much do you think Yahweh's got? We're looking for a rich uncle or a rich family somewhere. I'm going to ask this question to you. How much do you think Yahweh owns? And don't you know we're all his children? Do you see my point here? It don't matter what happens, what you faced in life. If your father is the Most High God, though you die, yet shall you live. That's a lot of stuff he's trying to give us. But here, right now, what do we believe and we have? What is our possession right now? What do we actually get? What do you think you have that's available to you? If you don't know that and believe that and expect that, then the mind is the problem. I can read a verse, but if my mind can't get to where I receive that and it settles in my heart where I know I can activate faith on that verse, it's, I can read it every day, but it doesn't do me any good. Where does it benefit me is when I trust in that word. I trust that's what God said. It's just like me saying this. It's hard for some people to get their mind wrapped around it. For ye are all the children of Yahweh. That's a big thing to say. Children of Yahweh, well, you know, I know I'm going to church, but a child of Yahweh? Man, it's putting me up there. And you see, we've been programmed to put ourselves in a lesser spot. So we don't expose ourselves too much. That's what we're programmed from the time we're born to not feel like we belong to that. Listen, know you not that you're all Yahweh's children. Now, who is he speaking to? Galatians. Gentiles. Not Jews. He's speaking to the Gentiles. Don't you know that you're all? Why does he include that? Because they already believe that they are. What about you and I? Very important. The mind has to change. For you are all children of Yahweh by faith in Messiah Yeshua. Why do we have to have it by faith in Messiah Yeshua? Because he is the circumcision. He is the Passover lamb. He's the one that paid the price for us. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Messiah have what? Have put on Messiah. Very important. Have put on Messiah. You got to put him on. Now, how many's ever been, and let's be honest here. You know they make these shirts for reunions, right? And it got Crapel, right, on the back. You know how many people put that shirt on? And they have the right to have it on, but they don't feel like it. They don't feel that very important spot. There's no reason for that. That's what we do. We put on the shirt. We come to church. But we never feel like we're Yahweh's children. That's not a good thing. We don't mind going. We don't mind hanging out. But that's the goal, is for you and I to put on Christ. We put him on and we realize who we are in Christ. Very important principle here. Verse 18 of Galatians 3, I'm going back and forth because I'm doing this to remind you of these verses. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promised. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. Isn't that amazing? Now watch this, verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It's a great question. It was added because of transgression. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now watch this. This is valuable to understand. Folks have taken these and said, because the mediator has come, the law, is no longer no value. Well, let me just tell you, it has great value. Because until you put on Christ and understand who you are, you're subject to the law. Now, if I put on Christ, then I have that circumcision. That's what he's dealing with. When he's using the term law here, he's dealing with this circumcision issue. If you don't put on Christ, you're subject to the law in every aspect of it. And who can keep all of that? Or who has? Let's ask that question. Not who can, because Christ, can it be? He can, because he did. But who has? Who has kept all the law? We've all broke that. We come short of God's glory. Then it goes just a little bit. Let me give a little bit more understanding here. His spiritual seed derives their birth from the travail of his soul, being born again of his word. Now watch this. Which is the incorruptible seed. We're born again of his word, which is the incorruptible seed. And we've seen that throughout the scripture. We see when Christ uses parables like the sower, sowed the seed. The seed is what? The sower's God. The seed is the word. And it's being sown in us. And that seed is not a perishable seed. It's imperishable. And it's very important. So let's go through John. We'll look at John 1:12, Romans 9:8. Just remember those key verses, but I'm going to read them in their context because I want you to see this. John chapter number 1, verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? Sons of Elohim. So if somebody says, well, you know, to me, I just don't feel it. Well, he gave power to become that, and it takes power to become sons. Let's go back and look at it again. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because his own says, we have Torah, we have the law. We have the traditions of our fathers. We're already Abraham's seed. He says, that's fine. But the promise was given to Abraham before circumcision. The circumcision was the seal that you were under that covenant. But now that Christ has come, you have to receive Christ as your circumcision. They didn't, until he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of Elohim. Very important. Could keeping the Torah up until Messiah come, could that provide the sonship? Well, we know it sealed you until that time, but it couldn't provide the power. How many know Christ is the power to real sonship? He's the power. But watch this. Even to them that believed on his name. So he's saying you have to believe that. Now we'll go a little bit farther. Romans 9, verse number 1. He said, I say the truth in Messiah. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now watch what Paul's saying here, because he's having a difficult time here. Very difficult. He's writing to Rome, never been there. Now he'd been to Galatia. He'd been there many times. He was there. He traveled. We looked at his journeys. But watch what he says in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Messiah. What? Myself were accursed from Messiah. Why? For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let me tell you, if anybody loved his people, Paul loved his people. He sort of reminds me of what Moses did when he was up on the mountain, and God says, I probably ought to just kill all of them. And Moses said, blot out me from the book, but give them a chance. Let not the enemy see that you're a God that fails. You don't fail. And I know that your grace is sufficient. That was grace written all over that story. Moses said, Father, I'm asking you, don't destroy them all. Some's going to perish. How many know there's a price to pay for our transgression? Some's going to perish. But he said, I'm asking you, take me, but don't take them out, because the enemy is going to laugh. He's going to scorn us. to everything because they're going to feel like you failed. Paul says, I could wish that myself were a curse from Messiah. Notice that. Same thing. Curse from Messiah. For who? My brethren. For my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now he's talking about his own people according to the flesh. It wasn't spiritual sonship here. It was flesh. He's talking about his own people, his own relation. He was born in this. He understood this. He was promised this. He was of the seed of Abraham. He learned in the best schools they had. Paul was very educated, very educated. He understood the Torah, and he knew how to explain it to us. Watch what he says in the next part. Who are Israelites? So we know who he's talking about. Verse 4, who are Israelites? His brethren, he's talking about the Israelites. To whom pertaineth the adoption? No, notice what they had. This part right here, every time I read it, listen, this stirs my heart. To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of Elohim, and the promises? How much more do we want? They had it all there for them. Whose are the fathers? Where did the fathers come from? Where did Abraham come from? That group. Isaac, that group. Jacob, that group. The 12 patriarchs, where did they come from? That's what he's talking about there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and go down the list of the 12 sons of Jacob. All of them came from that group. That's what he's saying. Whose are the fathers? These are the ones that God used, all these names he used. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came. That's the lineage the Messiah came from. Who is over all, Elohim, blessed forever. Amen. So he sets out this beginning part here in this Galatians speaking of this. And he says, listen, I want to tell you, we're not just talking about anybody here. We're talking about Israelites. We're talking about God's people. Who the adoption was there. The glory was there. The promise was there. Who's the fathers came from them. You're talking about a great heritage. They had it all. Not to forget the least bit who Messiah came from. How many see this? This is a serious time. In verse 6, he goes on, he says, not as though the word of Elohim had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice this, there's a distinction here. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim. Let me tell you, he said they had the adoption, they had the promises, they, not to forget, they had the glory, they had the Messiah came from them. He said, but I want you to know, all of that background, your last name is the same, you got the same shirt on. He said, I'm trying to tell you something, that just because that's what you know is the reality, until you accept that you are one in Messiah, you are not an heir. You can be born Israel, but not an heir. Wow. And that's what happens. That's where the enemy beats people down, right there. We got a group of people that say, you know, we're the seed of Abraham, us. We're the seed of Abraham. You know what Yeshua said? He said, if Abraham was your father, you know, you can put that up front. But he said, if you knew, if Abraham were your father, you would do what I'm asking you. You wouldn't break these covenants and these promises. So we could go around, we could tote that, but that's the trick of the enemy. He wants you to do that. But in the case of the Galatians, they didn't have that. They were told they have to, listen, you come to the reunion, but you got to put the shirt on and you got to look just like us. Or you can't be us. And Paul said, you don't have to put the shirt on. Well, let me tell you, that'll stir up stuff, won't it? Won't it stir up stuff? You better believe it will. It'll stir up stuff. Because the ones that pay for the stuff, they'll say, why they didn't wear the shirt? Why they got to have that color on? Paul said, don't put it on. Don't wear it. Matter of fact, they ought to all take them off, because that does not, just because you born Israel don't mean you are Israel. Wow. What you need to put on is Christ. Uh-oh. Notice the difference. See, that's the leveling line. No matter if you're Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, we just put on Christ. We're all one in Messiah. Outside of being, if we're not in Messiah, we don't count in that. That number one doesn't count. And how many want to be heir? I want to be heir. Go a little farther here. Neither because of the seed of Abraham and Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are of the children of flesh. These are not the children of Elohim. Here's the highlight. But the children of promise are counted for the seed. The children of promise are counted for the seed. Let me just tell you. We're the children of promise. That ought to make you shout hallelujah. That ought to make you and I want to worship him, honor him. That ought to drive us. Thank you, Father. Because see, we talk about grace, but we don't understand. If I say, for by grace are you saved, unless you have a true understanding of what that word really means, you can't shout about it. You might say hallelujah, but you're not really shouting. I'm explaining to you grace right now in great detail that but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. If we're Christ's, then we're part of that. We're part of that seed. Look at 1 Peter. That'll help us. We got 25 verses here and we're going to close. 25 verses. We got to get through them. We'll read fast. This is the last part. 1 Peter. Let me tell you something. I read this 1 Peter. Let me tell you. This stuff right here will make you want to shout. It says, Peter, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience, and the sprinkling of blood of Yeshua Messiah, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. I read that right there, and I ain't got to be confused about what Paul stood for. I mean Peter, rather, what Peter stood for. He tells us right up front. He tells us what he's, and who is he writing this also to? Galatians. That's why I'm reading this, because we're dealing with Galatians. So he's letting them see this. All of you out there, including Galatians, that's Gentiles. He said, I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. Notice this term, the stranger scattered. He said, the stranger scattered in these places. Blessed be Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead. Done what? Begotten us again. I don't know if that does something for you, but it ought to. Begotten us again. When you see the word begotten, that's a very important word there. He had begotten us again. He's speaking to a group of people who once were, but because of the resurrection of Messiah, we get begotten again. And how many know we need to be begotten again? Because we got to come into this heirship, because that's what we're dealing with. And heir, just heirs. We got to come into this with a full understanding and knowledge of what he did for us. Very important. Don't ever feel like, well, you know, I come in this thing late. It has nothing to do with time. It's everything to do with what you embrace that has been done for you and I. Individually it's been done, but collectively we receive it and we put on Christ. He goes and talks about this. Verse 4, we've been begotten again, has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Messiah from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance. Not just any inheritance. What kind of inheritance? Incorruptible. Notice that. Two, why are we brought into the family? Just to feel safe? Well, you know, I don't mind going because they make me feel like I'm wanted. You don't come into this just to feel wanted. Well, I like going to church there because they make me, you know, people love me. That's not why you go. You're heir. You get the promises. You get all that stuff. I can tell you this. If the guy that, remember we talked about the guy that's got the $1 million and you related to him and he died and now the million's on the table and you got the shirt on, the same family name, and you go, it's a different kind of family reunion now, right? You ain't going with your Tupperware bowl and hoping you can take a crab home. Right? Can I take some home? You ain't going with that mindset. You figuring out, okay, a million's on the table and they got five of us. You trying to say, you know what, am I? You want to know how equal you are. Let me tell you, it's more than a million on the table. We're talking about your Father being Yahweh. We ought to come to church and we ought to feel like He's distributing this stuff. I want my share. And you say, well, why should we feel that way? Because you're wanting Messiah. Let me tell you what share Messiah wanted. Though I die, yet shall I live. I want that because my Father promised me if I die, I live. He said, okay, Father, in that garden. This thing's about to happen. They are about to come over here and get me. And they're going to turn me over and they're going to beat me. And they're going to do all this stuff to me. And then it won't be long. They're going to hang me on that cross. And I ain't going to fight them. But Father, I'm asking you, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. What you want is what I want. Because I'm coming in this thing right now, and I know who I am in you. I'm an heir. And an heir, you're going to raise that heir, though he die, yet shall he live. He wasn't going there with a Tupperware bowl for an extra crab to bring home. He wanted his equal share to the million. And that's exactly how you would feel if there was $1 million of real cash on the table right now. You'd be there. Are you an heir? You better believe I'm an heir. You can care less about shirts. You don't go there for no snack. You go into your, if it's going to be five of us, it's going to be five ways. And you know that's what people do. Auntie died, and they over there. She had money. They ain't never went visit her. They can care less about that. They're heir. They come from the woodworks. We know that's a bad side on how to do it. But you know what he's telling us? I want you to come out the woods. Come out from the forest of being deceived and deception and get in the light. I want you to know I'm your Father. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that you're part of the seed of Abraham through Messiah Yeshua. So that's what cleanses us. So when we're in the woods, we got woodsy kind of mindset. But when we come into Christ, the light comes on. He cleanses me of all that iniquity. And so when I walk into the presence of Yahweh, he sees Christ, the one who paid it in full. That's what it means to put on Christ. Not me. If he's looking at me, I'm in trouble. But he sees that I put on Christ. That's what gives you the equal share. That's what gives you the heirship. That is important to think that away. Folks are going around saying, well, you know, I just hope by somehow the Lord just a smile on me. Really? You mean to tell me you can't believe enough that what Christ did for you, that we still carry the mindset that we're going to come before the Father and say, I just wish, you know, I don't, you know, just give me a little spot in the corner of heaven somewhere. I'll be all right. That's not what he says for us to do. And I know we want to do that, but you have to be careful about how we lay ourselves out like that. Listen, that's a false humility. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. I just, you know, whatever's left over, I'll take. There's $1 million you wouldn't take what's left. They give you a dollar, and the rest of them got the rest. You go, hey, what's going on here? You'll fight for it. You get up there and you make a noise for it. You know what the Christians are doing? We're not making a noise for nothing. We're just going and, I don't just hope somehow I count. That's the enemy is blinding people with that. And so guess what? You get a bad week, you feel like you don't count. Well, you know, I ain't ever belonged. I don't feel like I'm a part of that church. That's bad mindsets. That ain't the preacher doing it. That ain't the person sitting next to you doing it. That's you doing it. That's a bad mindset. You didn't come here for the preacher. You came here because you're a child of Yahweh. Preachers can quit. People sitting next to you can quit. But the Father, He'll never quit on you. He's still your Father. You got to fall in love with that, with Christ done. That is important. Remember, He's in the garden? He goes back to His disciples. What were they doing? They were sleeping. They weren't feeling. You think they were feeling? They weren't feeling like we are part of this. They were sleeping. He goes back, prays again. He comes back. What are they doing? They were sleeping again. He come back the third time. He told them, sleep on. He said, you're not figuring this out. But his life was on the line. They were going to take him that night. He felt it. And they were all his disciples. These were the closest ones to him. So listen, just because the closest one to you might back out, you can't back out. Because let me tell you, that was a tough time for Messiah. Tough time. His closest ones, the ones I can count on, my go-to guys, they came with me, but they were sleeping, but he couldn't sleep because his life was on the line. And I'm telling you, if we all in here get that same motivation, let me tell you what's going to happen. You hit note one, and the Holy Spirit will fall in this place, and it'll change lives. Because your passion is to come and meet with the Father. That's your passion. You can't get over that. You can't figure out why in the world. How is that possible? Air. Just air. You're air to it. And you got to sense that. You got to feel that. You got to embrace that. It's very important. So, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fate is not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Elohim through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice verse, as he goes on in this, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Don't forget, gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Messiah. Why should we keep doing this? Because we got to be ready when he appears. At the appearing of Messiah. So we don't just get in and we got it. I'm heir. Well, let me tell you, your heirship will be challenged from the moment you say, I'm going to serve God. And if you don't say that, your heirship's not challenged. You ain't met a fight with the enemy one. You might have had some difficulty in life, but it wasn't the enemy. That was our own bad choosing. But the moment you say, I'm heir, you're going to fight the enemy. He's going to say, you're nothing. You'll never be nothing. You can't have this. You can't have it. But in whose report are you going to believe? What are you going to see in the scripture? The moment you begin to read the scripture, you'll see that it belongs to you. Watch, because remember what he said. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye loved, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the faith walk that we're going to have. We don't see him yet, but we know he's coming. We know it's, we promise, we are spouses, we've been engaged, and he's going to come at that precise time. It's already been set by the Father. And when he says, son, go, he'll be here. And I my prayers, and I'm waiting, I'm dressed, I'm ready. I'm not fooling around with anybody else or anything else. I'm ready for when he comes. Because when that trumpet sounds, remember, you got to be ready. Five of the virgins weren't ready. They weren't ready. But we got to be ready. How many want to be ready? God is good. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The end of your faith? Well, of course. It's got a start and it's got an end. Let me tell you, the end of your faith is the spot you want to be in, because after he returns, do you need faith? You don't need faith. The dead will raise. Isn't that amazing? The dead in Christ will raise first. Then them which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. You don't need faith when you got his hand in your hand. You don't. There's no faith there. What happened to Peter when he got out of the boat? He had to trust. He had to have faith. And he lost his faith somehow, somewhere. But then the master reached down and grabbed him by the hand. Did he still need faith? No, he told him, you got your eyes on the outside, and he got worried. But when he got his hand in the master's hand, he wasn't sinking no more. There's no faith right there. The master's got you. Let me tell you, when he comes, and the marriage supper of the Lamb happens, you don't need no faith. But right now, you need all the faith you can get. And the more you're going to get great faith is the more you read the Torah. The more you understand all of these things and how it becomes real to you, and you see the grace that's been given to us in the wonderful Brit Hadeshah that we have. It's incredible. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand in the suffering of Messiah and the glory that should follow. How many know the glory that followed Messiah, the suffering, we look at the suffering and we should look at the suffering, but the glory that followed. How many know when you get raised from the dead, there's something about that glory? I don't think Lazarus was looked at the same as the neighborhood looked at him the first time. You know, Lazarus, he lived down the road right there. He's friends with Jesus and all that. And then he died. Yeah, poor Lazarus, man. That guy, you know, he was sick, never could get over that sickness. And then 4 days later, Messiah shows up and says, Lazarus, get up out of there, boy. And he gets out. I don't think the neighborhood was looking at him the same. Hey, that's Lazarus. Who died? I was there. I saw him. He was dead as dead gets. He never was looked at the same. I mean, you know, that changes things. Now that was, and then he died again. But can you imagine when you step out of death into the incorruptible? You never looked at the same again. Can you imagine? It's Messiah. When they noticed it was him, the men going to Emmaus, walking on the road. Disciples in the boat, fishing. There he is. Never looked at the same again. Different. Very important. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them, did signify when it testified before in the suffering of Messiah and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the good news unto you that the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Let me tell you about girding up the loins of your mind. There's a reason you gird your loins with your britches on. And we probably need to share that with a lot of people, right? When your britches is right there, just like right there, You need to gird them up. It means put the belt on, right? Gird up means you put the belt on and you go to the button, the loophole that holds them right here. Not here. All right? Well, I'm not talking about britches. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm convinced that people got their mind exposed. When your britches aren't girded up, your butt is exposed. Right? People got their mind exposed. You expose your mind, guess what's going to happen? Because let me tell you, all that says, it don't say that you just, it's just what the fad is. Ain't no fad. You want your, somebody to see your butt. That's why you hang your britches down, right? What's the point in it other than that? Ain't no point in it. If you don't gird up the loin of your mind, you expose your mind and you want your mind exposed. And if it gets exposed to certain things, you're going to attract that. See, you attract attention. You attract attention. So if you're walking around like that, it attracts attention. Somebody posted a little funny thing. I seen it on Facebook today. And it was this little bitty boy. He's this tall. And he's at a fast food place. And there's another guy standing there, and he's got his britches down, right? And the little boy's looking up at him. He's a little bitty fella, and this dude's tall. And he got a caption. And he says, hey, fella, you want me to help you with that? He said, I learned how to pull mine up when I was 2. I thought it was funny. That's how I feel sometimes. Hey, you want me to help you with that? You got that mind exposed to the wrong thing. I learned how to do that a long time ago. And how you do it is you don't put yourself in that position. Pull the britches of your mind up. Because stuff is going to get seen and you attract the wrong thing. Is this helping anybody? Notice what he says, and he's given direct, wherefore, he's told us all this stuff, and he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Next thing, be sober. Don't get intoxicated with the cares of this world. It's an intoxication. It really is. It will get on you, and you will be so intoxicated with the cares of this world, you won't understand the kingdom to come. We're so afraid to lose what we got, we can't embrace what God has for us to come. We're not sober-minded. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. He said, you want something to be excited about, this will keep your mind covered up. Because the enemy's there and he's looking for a spot. If your britches are down on your mind, he's going to come there and he's going to destroy. How many people has had it happen? I can tell you of how many people I've seen. I've shared this with my wife. I said, listen, if they don't change, got to get that mind squared away. It won't be long. And what happens? Don't change. And there you go. It'll happen to anybody. It can happen to me. It can happen to anybody in here. If you expose your mind, that's exactly where the enemy is going. You start thinking, well, nobody cares about me. Well, of course not. That's exactly how you're going to think. Well, it don't matter who cares for you when you know that your Father is Yahweh. So the guy's got $1 million and you want a 5. And you say, well, I ain't going. I'm not going because they don't like me. Really? You know you go. I don't care if they like me or not. I'm heir. How did you divide? 1 million divided by 5. Thank you. You know you do it. And if you don't, I'll be asking you for your shirt. Give me that shirt. I'm going to get it. Right? 1 million divided by five, I want mine. You're not sitting home. Well, they don't like me because I ain't going. Yahweh is your father. You got to get out there and get what's yours. Your heir. All right. I'm trying to get there. I don't guess I will. 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of in your ignorance. What was it before? Former lust in your ignorance. But as he with which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Is he holy? Well, sure he is. And we got to do the same. Verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you're going to represent God, don't try to change who God is. We represent him, and so if you're acting unholy, you're saying that's what he is. He said, no, I'm holy, you be holy. Don't change who God is by the way you do things. Verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah as a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you want to know how you got to be heir, that's how you got to be heir. Not with silver and gold, not because somebody owed you anything, but with the precious blood of Messiah. How many see that? Without blemish, without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in Elohim, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. What did Elohim give him? Glory. Amen. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. How should we love each other? Fervently. With a pure heart. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. By the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as flowers of grass. And the grass withered, and the flowers thereof fail away, falleth away. So listen, he says, and I want you to get it, for all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower of grass. And he tells us what happens with that. Grass withers, and flowers thereof falleth away. But the word of Yahweh endures forever. The word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word by which the good news is preached unto you. What a powerful passage. So I'm going to tell you, the word of Yahweh lasts. That's where you want to be. We're heir, children of Yahweh. That's got to sink in. If it sinks in, it changes everything about us. Are we going to feel like we're just everything we need to feel like on day one? Probably not. But the more you pursue that relationship, the more you seek to be in relationship with him, the better it's going to get. So my prayer is that we grab hold to this. Tomorrow we're going to start in the fourth chapter of Galatians.